I trust you're doing well today. I trust that you are enjoying the wonders of being in union with Christ, the wonders of Christ himself living his life through you. To remind you again of the two truths that are foundational about who you are as a Christian, what your identity is. You are in Christ, and therefore Christ is living inside of you. You are in union with him. It says in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are you in this world. So your identity is that you're in Christ and Christ is in you. The second thing is your purpose. Your purpose is to simply manifest the Christ who lives in you through you, to allow that Jesus to live through you in every single circumstance and situation, letting your light, the light of Christ, shine. That's your purpose, no matter what else is going on in your life. Your identity and your purpose will remind you of that over and over again. There's some scriptures that I want you to see that I think are really powerful. Let me put on my super deluxe miniature reading glasses here. This is from Colossians chapter 2. And again, it's just describing the gospel, describing what happens that makes a new creation. Because Jesus came to make all things new. For in Christ we're new creations. So he came not just to forgive us of our sin. He came to create a whole new being, a whole new self. And so let's just read these verses from Colossians 2. It says, see to it, verse 8, that no one take you captive through philosophy or empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, or full. It can be translated complete or full. Now, look at that again. The obvious truth. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him, you've been made complete or full. Well, if all the fullness of deity dwells in Christ, and you're in Christ, obviously, you've been made full. You're complete in him. Everything that he has, you have. It's amazing. For in him, you've been made complete, and he is head over all rule and authority, which means you are too, because you are in him, complete in him. You carry his fullness, his completion. In him also, you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised up with him through faith, in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Jesus. There's a couple of things he talks about in the scriptures. One of them is the circumcision of the flesh. That in the crucifixion, I was crucified with Christ. And in that happening, he cut off the flesh. Doesn't mean that you and I can't walk in the flesh, but it doesn't mean we're no longer in the flesh. We're not dominated by the flesh. We're not just in the flesh persons. We're more than that. Again, let me read through the scriptures. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and you were dead in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions. So at the cross, all your transgressions were forgiven, and the circumcision of your flesh was accomplished. In other words, not only were you forgiven, but the person who lived in the flesh, controlled by the flesh, I don't talk about just living in your body, but that sin principle, that person who lived under the control of the sin principle, that person died. The flesh was cut off. Can you sin? Yes. Do you now have to sin? No. And he says, when you were dead in your transgressions, uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with Christ. So your sins were forgiven. The circumcision of the flesh took place. And now you're made alive together with Christ, free from the condemnation of sin and free from the control of sin, because you're now one with him. The flesh has been circumcised. Your sin's been forgiven. So the reign of sin has now been broken over your life and mine. The reign of sin, including sin's judgment and condemnation over us because of all that we had done, that's all forgiven. And the person who were that committed the sins, who was controlled by the law of sin that lived in your members, the sin principle, that person was crucified. Let me show you again. When he says in verse 13, when you were dead in your transgressions, the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of the decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The certificate of debt, let me read it to you from Ephesians chapter 2. For he himself is our peace, chapter 2, verse 14, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall between us and God by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commands contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity. Now the enmity, the thing that he says over in Colossians that was hostile to us, he says, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, that was be the list, the spiritual list, of all the commandments you and I had broken. If a person was in debt in the days of Christ, that debt would be posted on the door of their house. What they did, what they owed, until it was paid off. And then another thing would be posted on there that said, Tetelestai, paid in full. But until then, there was a list of their debt. So at the cross, the list of my debt, all my sins, everything that I'd ever done, the certificate of debt, was nailed to the cross in the person of Christ. But you see, Jesus didn't just take the certificate of debt to the cross with him. Jesus became the certificate of debt. Jesus became my sin. It says, he who knew no sin became sin on my behalf, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And so when you look at this scripture, and he says, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken out of the way and having nailed it to the cross, it's not just the things that you did, but you, the one who did them, died on the cross. Jesus became you. And everything that you did, the certificate of debt, Jesus took on himself. He took as if he had done all those sins. And so your certificate of debt was nailed to the cross and buried, no longer exist. But the one who did all those things was also nailed to the cross in the person of Jesus and buried. And you were raised up alive together with him, without any more certificate of debt, you are free from everything you've ever done or will ever do. Your sins, past, present, and future, are all paid for under the blood. But the person who did all those sins was also crucified. So I'll give you a quick example. If fear is one of the big issues that you struggle with in your life, or greed, or envy, let's just use those examples. Well, not only was that listed on the cross, your greed, say, if your name is Sue, Sue's greed, Sue's fear, Sue's envy, was all nailed to the cross. It was there, and it was all nailed to the cross. But Sue, in the person of Jesus, was also nailed to the cross. So it wasn't just that Sue was nailed to her certificate of debt, but Sue herself was nailed to the cross. So that when Sue died, and Sue and that the old Sue and that certificate of debt are now buried, a whole new Sue in union with Jesus is raised up with no longer any condemnation, certificate of debt, past, present, and future, all covered, and the Sue who did all those things died. Therefore, you don't have to give in to fear. You don't have to give in to envy. You don't have to give in to greed, because that person died. Christ is now your righteousness, and he doesn't envy. He doesn't fear. Give in to fear. He doesn't do greed. That's the Christian life. It's amazing. Jesus took the certificate of debt unto himself. He became their certificate as he was nailed to the cross. But it wasn't just a certificate that he became. He became you, the one who did all those things. And all that was crucified and buried, so that raised up with him. Certificate of debt gone. The flesh circumcised at the cross. A new creation in union with Christ. Walking in his righteousness, who doesn't do those things anymore. Okay? I hope that makes sense to you. It's a liberating truth. The cross is much more than just Jesus died for you. Jesus died on the cross as you. And he was raised up in union with you. And in union with him, as Jesus is in this present world, so are you. Amen? Amen. Well, have a good rest of the day.